has got a problem beyond his power to solve. Are the situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe and trust his word, you see. His plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly, and it's clear how much he loves you. Look at what he's done. For all your questions, there's really only one. Is anything too hard for God? And who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything to solve? Are the situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God?
Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass and the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither the people, about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon the face, his face, before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turn their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall environ us about round, and cut off our name from the earth, and what wilt thou do unto thy great name? The Lord said unto Joshua, get up, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for your word, and I pray you teach us some things this morning from the mistakes of the children of Israel, some things that caused them to distress and to fret. Lord, we all feel like that sometimes. Help us to learn the things that will help us to be able to get out of that, to dig our way out when we're distressed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you look at this chapter, of course, in chapter 6, they had just had the great battle with Jericho, and then they had won that battle. God had given us tremendous victory. Then we come to Joshua chapter 7, and there's that first word there, but. It's kind of ominous. The word but's kind of telling us, like, you just had a great victory, but something bad just happened. Something is going on that's not right, or it's going to end bad. They had their great victory in their first battle in the Promised Land, defeating Jericho. Jericho was a great city, probably one of the biggest and the most fortified city in all of Canaan, and God allowed them to get the victory there to kind of help them, but it kind of backfired on them. Now, they go to one of the smaller cities, one of the easier cities they should have had an easier time with, and they suffer a humiliating defeat after such a wonderful victory. The enemy killed 36 soldiers. By the way, when it comes to this time getting into Canaan land, that would be their first and only defeat. Can you imagine? They had just come out of the wilderness. They spent 40 years of dying off and living in a God-forsaken place. Really, you can call it that. The wilderness is nothing more than a desert. God did not intend them to get there. So after 40 years of all the nonsense in the wilderness, they get into the Promised Land. They have a great victory. Now they're going on, and they're going to just wipe everybody out. And then they come to Ai, and they suffer a horrible defeat. And so as we saw here, Joshua and the people are in despair. They're whining. They're crying. Joshua rends his clothes. That's a sign of great despair and defeat. They have emotional problems going on. Joshua's on his face before God. By the way, if you look at verse 7, they sound like the old Israelites in the land. Why did you bring us here in the first place? You should have left us where we were at. You just bring us in here to kill us. Sounds like when they first came out of Egypt. They're right back where they were. And not, God's name is being spoiled, is soiled. Now, God let this go, it says, until the evening time. The evening time was the time of the evening sacrifice. So about the time probably they're supposed to get up and have the sacrifice, God just kind of interjects and says, Joshua, get up. Quit whining. You ever tell your kids that? They get upset, throw themselves on the floor? Get up. Remember, I coached our JV football team. We had won like 5 championships in a row, and we lost in overtime of the championship game, and supposed to shake their hands, and one of our guys threw himself on the ground, and I walked over, and I said, get up. I said, they shake our hands every time we beat them. It's our time to shake their hands. Don't ever let that happen again, though. So God gets, get up. What are you doing? And God's going to help them get out of this. God's saying, look, the time for whining and despair is done now. It's time to get up off your face, go forward, fix the problem, and get to where God wants you to be. Now, sometimes we get in despair. We get discouraged. We get down. And that's okay, but let's not live there. Whenever we do that, there's a time that God's going to say, hey, get up. Enough. If you're following your Bible reading schedule, we just finished 1 Samuel when David, and a lack of faith, was living with the Philistines, which he shouldn't have been. Then he gets sent home. Then Ziklag got ruined. His wives and all their stuff got taken. And then he goes and gets their stuff. And then then his buddies are talking about stoning him. He was in despair, but he got up. So how do we do that? If we look at this chapter, 7 quick things. I will preface that. How do we dig out of despair? If we're going to deal with what's going on, the things that are bringing us down, the things that are causing us to be emotionally out of kilter, what do we got to do? Well, let's look at it. Number one, first of all, we have to die to self. What do I mean by that? The biggest problem we have, and one of the things God detests the most, is pride. Pride. God just doesn't deal well with pride. You imagine, here we are standing before God like we really did anything. You know, God must look at us like, you've got to be kidding me. Pride. Look at verse 3 again. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go and smite Ai, and not make not all the people to labor, for there are but few. They came back and said, seriously, this group is nothing like the ones we just beat. Just a couple thousand, we'll go in there, we'll mop it up, we'll wipe them out, and we'll be fine. They didn't ask God what God wanted them to do. You see, after they won that battle, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. By the way, that's about the time we start feeling good about ourselves, we are in serious trouble. Anything we accomplish, anything that's going to happen in our life is going to happen because of God. And whenever we start to take credit and we start to think that we no longer need him, we are in serious trouble. You see, everything about the promised land started and it ended with God. It was his idea. He was the one that brought them out of Egypt. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He was the one that wanted to just take them quickly through the wilderness. He's the one that got them through the Jordan River, and he was the one that was going to give them all the victories. It had nothing to do with them. God didn't even choose them because they were the best. If you read through the law books, he's like, you were the least. God just chose them, and everything about it was supposed to be God, and how dare them and how dare us step up and say, I don't need to work that hard. I got this one under control. That's pride. If we're going to deal with issues in our life, we've got to get past ourselves. You see, the seeds of their defeat were sown in their victory. Mark that down because it's going to be coming. Their defeat started in Jericho, as we're going to see. And so realize we need God. When we talk about prayer, the reason we don't pray is because we don't realize that we need God. We think that we got everything on our own. If we only knew what was going on, we would realize that we need God. So die to yourself. Kill pride. Number two, decide to do something. Decide to do something. We've read verse 10, and the Lord said to Joshua, get thee up. You know, snap out of it. What are you laying on the ground for? No one's going to win a battle laying on the ground. Quit whining. Quit sniveling. Get up. Do something. There are times to get on your face. There are other times just to get up and do something. And we get so emotional sometimes, we just want to sit around and do nothing, and that doesn't help the problem at all. It soothes us because we get to whine and feel bad about ourselves. That doesn't do anything. Okay, you want to have your little pity party? Make sure it's brief. And then snap out of it, get up and say, let's go. You imagine David, his buddy, oh, we're going to kill David. They're talking about stoning him. And David goes and talks to himself, and he's all down. He says, you know what? Time for the pity party's over. And it says he encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. He said, all right, Lord, let's go fix this. You got to decide to do something. Verse 13, God told him the same thing. Up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. He says, hey, let's go. We're going to solve the problem, but you got to decide to do something. Sometimes we suffer despair, we suffer discouragement. The worst thing you can do is to sit around your house and do nothing. The depression, the despair, the discouragement gets worse. You got to get up and do something about it. What does God want me to do to take care of it? And I'll share a few more things here to help you with that. But you've got to, if you don't decide to do something, you'll never get the help you need. Never will. You just sit and whine around, whine about things, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. But I don't feel like I can get out of this. I don't feel like there's anything I can do. Good. Now you're ready for God to do something. That was point number one. Die to self. Decide to do something. Then number three, very important. Discover the source. Discover the source. Sometimes there's a reason you're at where you're at. And that needs to be dealt with. Verse 16. Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes. And the tribe of Judah was taken. Now, we know what's going on here. They had pride and they had some other things. The ultimate source of it was Achan. You see, God had told them, when you go to Jericho, don't take anything. That was the first city. God said, you're not getting any spoil. You're not getting anything. Wipe it out. Obliterate it. Face the earth. Nothing left. Don't take anything. And what happened is Achan saw a couple things that he wanted, and he took them. So God's going to say, now we're going to figure out where the problem is. We're going to take care of the problem. So he said, let's discover the source first of all. And they brought the family of Judah. So what they did is they probably cast lots or something like that, where they brought everybody together and you kind of, it's not rolling the dice, but for lack of a better way, you know, it's like wham, okay, you lost, you're out. They did something else. Okay, now they get the tribe of Judah. Now let's do it by families. Now let's do it by the families within the families. Could you imagine Achan as this was going on? Like, oh, I hope they don't choose my, you know, oh, they got Judah, that's my tribe. Okay, not my, oh, they got the family. And could you imagine what was going on in him? He knew the problem. But it was time for them to discover the problem. Verse, they brought the family of Judah. They took the family of the Zerahites, and they brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. It's like, man, it is getting closer here. You think at some point he would have just stepped up and said, all right, I did it. He does that a little bit later. And they brought his household man by man. And Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of all these guys, he was taken. The problem was Achan's sin. We already went through that. God wanted Joshua to know the source of the problem. What happened to Achan? He fell prey to temptation and covetousness. Now, what's causing it in your life? What is causing the despair in your life? Spiritually speaking, it usually always goes back to disobedience. There's an area of our life we're just not lining up with what God wants us to line up with. By the way, God will show you that. You ought to want God to show you that, shouldn't you? Because you're not going to get out of where you need to be unless you discover the source of the problem. What is it? There's three places. It could be an area of commission. In other words, it's something you're doing. Is there something you're doing that you know is in disobedience to God, and yet you are still involved with it? Can I just tell you something? It's going to drag you down. Let me say this. It hasn't been mentioned in a while, but maybe some of you in a crowd decide you're going to have it. Maybe you're addicted to something on the internet. Internet and all the nonsense on there, it's horrible. And it is so easy, if you are not careful, to get involved with some things. I had a good friend of mine, went to Bible college with him. Saw him several years ago when we were on vacation, and he'd been married for over 20 years, and then a couple years later, we contacted him, and it's like, their family blew apart. A good guy. My wife talked to the girl because she was good friends with her and said, you know, we never said anything, but he was addicted to pornography the whole time we were married. He tried to get over it. There was times we thought we could. He got over it. He never could. He eventually ditched her. By the way, his daughter had that happen, tried to commit suicide. It was just horrific. Be very, very careful. Is that the source? Maybe it could be a million things. Cheating in your business. Some sin you're involved with. Some of you might be involved in immorality. Okay, let me just explain this to you. That is wrong. No. That was too nice. That's sin. And that's going to ruin your life. And you're always going to be in upheaval if you're trying to be the Christian God wants you to be, if you're involved in that stuff. So what do you need to do? You need to deal with it. You need to get it right. Or else, you know what you're doing? You're digging the hole deeper. You're not digging out, you're digging deeper. Maybe it's something you're doing. Maybe it's something you're not doing. Omission. Maybe you're not faithful in your time with God and some of these disciplines. God wants us to spend time with him and be encouraged and strengthened. You're not going to have the strength you need to go forward with God if you're not spending time with him. You struggle with church attendance. You struggle with all these things that you know God wants you to be involved with. You know, it's funny. As people start having troubles, they start having a problem, and the first thing they'll do, they'll get out of their Bible reading. They'll get out of their time with God. They'll get out of coming to church and being around God's people. That makes the problem worse. You're distancing yourself away from the very thing which can help you to get out of that. Maybe it's permission. What does that mean? Maybe you're not on the commission side. You haven't committed to sin yet, but you're giving yourself permission to flirt with it. Just kind of getting close to it. Maybe, you know, look, our society just deals with immorality on a daily basis. You know what happens? I read an article one time, and they were talking about how these couples, how people at work have these emotional affairs. In other words, there's nothing that's been immoral yet, but it's just they start getting an emotional feeding from somebody else at work other than their spouse. Let me just explain something to you. That's going to lead to something bad. And I guarantee in a crowd this size, there's some of you flirting with that kind of nonsense. And ladies, let me just tell you something. I'm going to help you out because I'm a man. Well, you know, this guy is just friendly, and he meets my emotional needs, and we're just good friends. Can I just tell you something? If that's what he's telling you, I'm a guy, I'm being honest, he's a liar. No guy wants to, when I was in high school, a lot of the dates you get were, I was just friends with a girl. I just want to be your friend. Hook, line, and sinker, sister. That's a lie. If a guy tells you that, he's a liar. Or he has a boyfriend. Okay? It doesn't work that way. We don't work that way, guys. We don't. And don't give me that guard. Oh, you know, we're just friends at work and blah, blah. And then it starts with the email, the texting. Hey, it's going the wrong direction. You got to be careful with that stuff. You're headed down a wrong path. A guy wants to talk to you. It's usually guys. We're the worst. Tell him to drop dead. Can I get your number? Maybe. No, you can't. Here's my number. 666. Keep it. Okay? Don't. But we start getting close to that sin. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to be right with God, and you're going to get in the depths of despair.
Yep. Amen.
Yeah, you are. It's permission. Be very, very careful. It's so easy now in the time in which we live to make these connections. If you didn't get anything out of that, guys are liars. We're liars. I'm just being honest with you. Not me, but he is. Okay, let's move on. Number four, ditch the story. Ditch the story. Read the verses there in chapter 20 and 21. You can look upon the thing. He talks to Achan and says, brother, what happened? I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say, I was raised in a bad environment. And I just had this propensity to see Babylonian garments and gold and silver. When I see it, I just can't control myself because the way I was raised. Okay? You know what he said? He said, here's what happened. I saw it. I wanted it. I took it. There you go. Case closed. That's the truth. You see, we're not going to get help for the issues in our life if we don't just step up and just tell it like it is. I'm wrong. I should not have done that. That was dishonoring God, and it was sin. See, until we're willing to come to that point, we're not willing to make the corrections we need to make. Okay? You're not a victim. You say, but you don't understand how I was raised. I'm from a dysfunctional family. Me too. And so are my children. We're all dysfunctional. Okay? And I'll guarantee you there's somebody that grew up in the same situation you grew up in, and they're doing fine because they ditched the excuse, and they're living for God. Okay? Don't let excuses drag you down. Well, I was talking to somebody, and they were telling me, yeah, you should feel this way because you have a right to feel. Hey, listen, do you want to stay where you're going to stay at, or do you want to get out of it? Do you want to stay there? If you want to stay there, listen to someone that'll stroke your ego. Lay on their couch. Oh, I feel so bad for you. You deserve that. That was a bad. Okay, and you'll be on that couch forever. Why don't we just get up and say, you know what? I ain't living there. By the way, I understand bad things happen. I understand it's a struggle sometimes. I'm not making light of that. I'm just saying, don't stay there. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So if everything's become new, why do we want to dig up the past? Let's bury it. Let's go forward. Ditch the story. We must hasten. Number five, destroy the sin. Now, you may not understand this, but it's okay. They killed Achan. God said, I told you not to do that. That was a curse, and God stoned him and his family. You say, now, wait a minute. That's harsh. Okay, well, if you read your Old Testament, I won't read it. I have the verse here. But the family was not put to death for his sin, so obviously they knew what was going on. That was the only way they could be put to death because they had to be complicit. They should have stepped up and said, hey, look what he did. Okay? You have to realize that because of Achan, 36 people died. 36 people died. You've got to destroy what's going on. Now, look, I mentioned something, and there's a million things. I only touched on a couple. You say, I struggle with this whole internet thing. Then you need to either find a way to make sure you're never on the internet alone, or you need to throw your computer away. You say, but I got to have it. Well, if you can't, if it's destroying your life, then you don't need it. Find a way to kill it. You say, well, you know, I'm kind of having this relationship, and there's, you know, I walk by this person at work, and my heart kind of flutters. Are you married? Well, yeah. Then avoid that person. Don't talk to them. That would be rude. I'd rather be rude and be faithful to my spouse and kill it. Okay? Kill it. It's going to destroy you. Stop it. Okay? Do whatever you got to do. Put safeguards in place. Whatever you have to do to keep that from taking up, we call it a beachhead, getting involved in your life, and it takes up residence. Destroy it. Get rid of it. Maybe you have to avoid it. You have to put safeguards in place. You have to starve it, maybe. You see, we'll say, well, God's forgiveness. I get that. And I'm so thankful, God. By the way, if you've done anything, if you're here, God forgive can forgive you of anything. And God can take you from where you're at and take you forward. Remember the woman caught in adultery? I mean, the very act. This wasn't no like, oh, he said, she said. No. They said, they saw. He forgave her and he sent her on his way. We forget also what he said at the very end. Go and sin no more. He didn't say, hey, come just as you are, but don't stay as you are. He said, you're forgiven, but make sure this doesn't happen again. Don't sin no more. You got to deal with the issue. Okay? Let's deal with it. Destroy the sin. Destroy the sin. And then number six, I'd say discern the script. Discern the script. What do I mean? In chapter 8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai. I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city into thy hand. And thou shalt do to Ai and his king as thou did to Jericho and her king. God said, he told him earlier, get up off your face. Let's deal with what's going on. Everything's fixed. Now you know what? Go do what you're supposed to do. He didn't say, hey, we're having a party, everything's fixed. Yeah, no, party another time. Everything's fixed. Now go do what you're supposed to be doing. Get back in the flow. What does God want you to be doing? Those things you stopped doing because you were struggling. Those things you stopped doing because maybe there was some sin in your life. Some things you stopped doing because you were discouraged or you were just down. That's fine. But now that you got it corrected or you're on the course to get it corrected, get up and do what you're supposed to be doing. That's part of the thing that'll keep you back down there. When you stop doing those things you're supposed to be doing, get up. Look, it's like Jonah, okay? I ain't going to Nineveh. By the way, if you knew the history of Nineveh, I wouldn't have went either. A ride in a fish would be much better. And Jonah said, I ain't going there. Now, his attitude was, I didn't want God to save them. Now, he had some issues. But he gets eaten. The fish has him, the belly. He prays. As soon as he got out of the fish, guess what the first thing was? Now you're still Nineveh. You still got to go to Nineveh. Okay? It's still waiting for you. Get over there. And that's, we get in back doing the things we're supposed to be doing. Don't let it destroy your life. Get right, get going. And then the last thing is this, the blessings. Divide the spoil. Verse 2 of chapter 8. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. You know what God said? He said, when you go to Jericho, don't touch anything. It's almost like the tithe. It's that first thing there, and God said, that first city's mine. Don't touch it. That's mine. Burn it. Destroy it. Now he says, now, go ahead, take their stuff. If they have a nice Babylonian garment, take it. If they have a gold, take it. It's the spoil. That's the blessings of the battle. You win, you get the victory. You get the spoils of victory. You know what the sad thing was? If Achan would have only waited. And you know what was retarded? He stole stuff he couldn't have used anyhow. Could you imagine? They get done with Jericho, he comes walking around with some nice shirt on. Where'd you get that? Made in Jericho. Okay. What good was it doing him in the ground? It was worthless. If he would have only waited. By the way, God has blessings for us. And sometimes we're in that despair, we're letting things stop us. We're bypassing God's blessings. But can I just tell you something? Get it right. Get it fixed. go forward, and there it is. It's still waiting for you. God still wants to do something in our lives, but we can't do it laying on the couch. We can't do it when we're in the pit. Let's dig ourselves out with God's help. Let's pray.